I wonder if we could turn the light off. I'm going to show you a little PowerPoint of our work in Nigeria, if I may. Do take one of these Soteri News with you. They're on the table over there. If you have a look in the diary section, you will see that Frinton-on-Sea is the last engagement featured. And you'll also see in the diary section of the other places that I've been ministering in the UK. So do take one of those, they're free. Soteria Trust. Soteria is a Greek word, soteria, and it means salvation. Next. This is a school in Ibadan, South Nigeria, where I've been visiting for 24 years. This is a classroom in a school. This is what the schools are like. This little girl here is one of many million in Nigeria itself that's not in school. And the reason she's not in school is, number one, she's very poor. She can't afford a uniform even, and therefore she's not allowed in. Number two, she's looking after her brother on her back. So we decided to do something about children like this. He was three when we sponsored him. And then we continued sponsoring him, Yemi, when at secondary school. And then last year I baptized him. And he knows Jesus now. And he's at our college. He left school, which is one of our projects, where we've got about 60 children schooled. And we've got another project, which is a college, and he's at that. Every time I go to Nigeria, there are parents with their children that are waiting for us to interview them in the hope that we will give them a scholarship so that they can attend school. Our administrator for Soteria Trust. We're a small organisation. We're 2.2 people. I'm one. The lady in the picture's another one, that's two. And we've got a 0.2. And the 0.2 comes on Tuesdays. So a small organisation. She's gathered all the children that we're sponsoring at our school project and given them instruction and given them the letters from the UK sponsors so they can do a reply. This is a child, one of our children, writing a letter or drawing a picture, and we bring it back and send it to the people that sponsor Nigerian children to go to school. This is our college. So you've seen what the schools are like, the state schools, and nearly all of them are like that. I visit them. Many of them. I can testify. This is our school in the city of Ibadan. Our vision is education for jobs. They can come to our school for 2 years and they didn't even have to go to university. 26 million Nigerians have a degree with no jobs. If you come to our school, they're getting jobs. They can come to us and get jobs. It's working. The vision's working. This is our IT room. I go to some state schools, they've got no books in the library, they've got no electricity, they've got no water, they've got no toilets, they've got no computer, they've got no nothing much. They've got a board. They've got chalk. That's it. The computers you see there have come in suitcases every time we go. We take another screen. Last time I went, I took four more computers. This is John. He was on a scholarship. Someone in Britain gave him £19 a month so that he could be colleged, go to college. This time next year, John will become a chartered accountant, which is better than having a degree. a chartered accountant. He's doing his first round of chartered accounting exams now as we speak. Education for jobs. But it's not just that. It's they're being transformed by Jesus. Victoria, she got her Chichester College diploma last year. She's got a job. In the 2 years she was with us, we fed her, watered her, educated her. She lived in the woman's dormitory because someone in Britain gave Victoria just £19 a month. We haven't got the money. We do it all in faith. I don't give them scholarships because I've got the money. It's not coming from my pocket as well. But we give them and then we come home and bring it to the attention of the church like today. Michael, I'm like a father to him because he's got no father. We met him when he was in secondary school, about to leave. We said, you don't have to leave because of poverty. We will give you a scholarship. He finishes secondary school, did a 2-year admin computing and business course and got a Chichester College diploma and is working now and keeps coming back to the Soteria Church, our church. He loves it. Film Club. We're doing Discipleship Explored. It's a discipleship program. And they love it. This is our church. They're taking notes. They're very attentive. They're responding. They love to respond to Jesus. They're not backward in coming forward to Jesus. All these are people that know Jesus already. These ones are born again. But they're responding. I take volunteers with me. I've taken all sorts of people over the years. Young, old, and in between, of various skills. Teachers, dentists, social workers, businessmen, engineers, evangelists, pastors. The red is our college team. This is a school in Nigeria. It looks nice. It's not that good. I'm addressing all the pupils. I'm telling them about Jesus, that he died for them, loves them, is there for them, and I'm inviting them to turn from sin, trust in Christ, and take his gift. Always, always, always. I'm telling these 600-700 youngsters here to turn to Christ. As a prayer of commitment at the end of a passionate proclamation of the gospel, of sharing my testimony. God has given us two things: the proclamation of the gospel, which has power, which we'll talk about in this session, and our story. And they're listening. Even the Muslim girls and boys are listening respectfully. Turn from sin, turn to Christ, take God's gift of the Holy Spirit. Another school, same. I'm standing under a tree. When I turned 50, God said to me, forget the big conferences. In the early years, I went to Nigeria, I would be on the biggest platforms, speak to some very big crowds of many thousands. And God said to me, forget it. Go back to school. I want you to be a school's evangelist. Where no one is looking, where there's no collection plate, where there's no money available. Just stand up, proclaim Christ, train the workers to do the same. Not just when you come, but train the Nigerians to love and take the opportunity of taking Jesus. Another school. I've got the whole school here. speaking to them all in obedience to the Master. He's very gracious. Sometimes you go and you don't feel 100%, or you've got things happening, and you get up in the morning and say, Lord, here am I. I'm going to the school today. Lord, help me. I'm in a classroom here. I'm doing a seminar for 45 minutes. And it was amazing. I had one complaint. There's a teacher sitting at the back. He complained. Spoke to one of my staff. And he said, Andy, he spoke to us today. He should have spoke to the whole school. Next time he comes, I don't want him to do a classroom. I want him to speak to the entire school. Exactly the same message as he spoke in the class. Tell him to come. And at the end of this lesson, I said to the pupils, let's bow our heads. And they're saying, yes, we do. We want to. We do. We want to turn from sin. We want to trust in Christ and take God's gift and follow Jesus. You think this is easy? You think this is easier than doing it here? Don't think that. They love us going. This is not just smiles in a picture. They love us going. This is another little school. And all the pupils here were from the north. The parents have signed permission and a letter saying that they can come south, where Boko Haram are not active, south, where they can come and be educated, south, where they can go to a good school, south. And all of these have become Christians. Somebody say hallelujah. This is one of three that we're sponsoring. I can't tell you her name. This is one of our children replying to a sponsor in the UK. This is a young person replying to a sponsor in the UK. And this is our staff, part of our staff, 15. From guard to cook to teachers to the head. And all their salaries come from Britain. This is a mission school. I've not earned one penny, not one penny. This is not like, it's called Soteria Business School. I haven't built this for me. It's propped up from Britain. This is Moses teaching. Thank you. This is our work in Nigeria. Today, I brought some packs with me, and if one of you would like to sponsor one of our children, I've got some children that I need sponsors for. If you'd like to sponsor a young person, I've got a young person in my hand, a young lady, you can sponsor a young person. If you'd like to sponsor one of my staff, so that we can pay them their salary, you can sponsor one of our staff. They're over there. If you want to speak to me afterwards about that, you can do so. Take a pack home, return the form to us, and we'll action it for you. But you can do that. I need your help today. And if your hearts have been stirred, and if you're able, help us. We're unique. There are many organisations not working in Nigeria. I won't name them. The biggest organisations, only a few are working in Nigeria. We're doing a unique work, both in education and in the gospel. And if any of you would like to sponsor one of them, it would be really helpful to them and to us. And all of you can pray, and all of you could take one of these leaflets. I've written a book here. called Refreshed and Renewed, and it's a weekly word for daily living. It's hardback with an orange ribbon. It's not a daily word, weekly word, so it's got 53 little chapters in it. It's amazing. I can't believe I write so well. It's like every time I read it, I'm struck with wonder. So if you'd like to, it's in the sale. It's over there. Please buy one of those. This one's free. Who would like it? You have to come and get it. This is True Relationships, another book that I've written. Again, every time I read it, I'm thinking, we've done a good job, Andy. Blessing others, forgiving others, loving others, love, sex, marriage, the greatest friendship, the impacting friendships of leaders, relationships to avoid, recovering from spiritual abuse, divorce and remarriage, trust, singleness, friendship with Christ. Amazing. It's in the sale. This one's free. Who wants it? He doesn't need it. We can't have it then, mate. He doesn't need it. Get out of here. I'm not giving it to you. Oh dear, he doesn't need it. Let's pray. Lord, can you be in charge for this day? Totally. Can you take charge? We ask you to take charge, to be in charge, and we ask that you would lead us also. And even in this next session, and for the rest of this day, Lord, in everything, in every way, Lord, Kyrie, Master, in every way, lead us. Heavenly Father, lead us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. When I was in my late teens, I went to a summer camp. I was not a Christian at all. I didn't want anything to do with Jesus or church. But I went to a Christian summer camp. And I went because there were girls there. That's what you do when you're 17. That's what I did. And I went because I heard that there was a snooker table. I thought, I'm going to play snooker. I'm going to have a look at some girls. Halfway through the week, at this Christian camp, I was arrested by Jesus. He got my attention. I couldn't resist. Totally not a Christian. I believed there was a God. I believe there was a Jesus. When I was a little boy, even a young little boy, I would occasionally pray. But that's all. I would go to church, but it meant nothing. I didn't want it to. It meant nothing. And if I had continued, I would have eventually dropped out even from going to church completely. I know that. Would have carried on my life. Probably got a lot worse. But I was suddenly out of the blue invited by Kevin Lambert. Turn to someone and say, Kevin Lambert. Kevin Lambert sat next to me in class, in school. He said, Andy, we should go to the camp in the summer. I said, what camp? He said, a camp. I said, I'm not interested in a camp, Christian camp. He said, Andy, there'll be girls there and there's a snooker table. It's good and we'll get away from home for like a week or so. I said, let's go. So we went halfway through one night in 1973 at 10 o'clock at night, 28th of July, I got on my knees and gave my life to Christ. I opened the door. He'd been knocking. Revelation 3:20 was here. Zzz. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was standing at the door and knock, and that night I opened the door. I got on my knees, literally, and said, Lord Jesus, I am sorry. I opened the door, come into my life. Amen. Got back home after the camp, knock at the door. Open the door. A man whom I recognized at school. He said, Andy, I thought I'd come and visit you. You know who I am. I said, yeah, I know you. Yeah. Yeah. Why have you come? Yeah. Yeah. So? I wasn't very friendly. He said, well, we've heard you became a Christian last week. I said, yeah. So? He said, I've come to invite you to a youth fellowship. A youth fellowship. So I went. It was good. There was girls there. I was 17. I was handsome. Yes, it's true. Yes, he is. I was great. And the next year, and I got discipled over that year. And I loved it. Wednesday Bible study. Sunday night. Talks. Worship. Prayer. It was both evangelical and charismatic. That's the only combination that's best. I'm not conservative. I don't know who's worse, liberals or conservative. What was Jesus? Look at Jesus. What was Paul the Apostle? The next year, I went to a summer camp. I'm a Christian now. And we all, I'm like 18 or so. They said, we all went round one night in our dorms. They said, what do you want, Andy? I said, I'd like the Holy Spirit. He said, you've got the Holy Spirit. I said, I know. I said, there's more. He said, okay, well, we'll pray for you. He said, you must. I want you to. He said, we'll pray for you. You pray. Come back and tell us if anything happens in the next few days. I said, I'll do exactly that. So I took some time out during that few days. I remember climbing over a fence. I can see it now. It's there before me. Walking down towards the river on my own, praying, Lord, I want more of you, your Holy Spirit. Can you do it for me this week? Can you do it for me now? Can you do it for me, Lord? They've got something I haven't got. I need more of you, Holy Spirit. Baptize me in you. Amen. One night, a day or two later, I was on my bunk bed. After some days of praying, the Holy Spirit came. It's like He hit me. He came. I was on the top bunk. He came, visited me. That night, I was so happy. I remember praying and praying, thanking God and seeing the cross like never before. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I think this is it. I think this is Him. You're answering now. I'm really so happy that you filled me in this way. I couldn't sleep. I said, look, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I'm excited. So this is like a quiet thing. There's a young guy on the bottom bunk. I'm on the top bunk. No one knows this is going on. I'm not shouting, ranting, raving or nothing. And I said, Lord, 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 thank you. Can you take some of the joy away? Lord. Yeah. I'm too happy and I can't sleep. Amen. That was my prayer. So what difference did that make? Everything. Now I was finding I had this ability, this desire and ability, not only to share Jesus with people, but win them for Christ. I had very little or no desire to share, certainly no ability to do anything. Now I was finding I could. And one of the first people that I brought to Christ in my college days was J. John. One of many. One day I'm at a bus stop. There's a man looking in the rubbish bin by the bus. I got him. God said to me, feed him. I went into a shop, bought some food, went over to the tramp, to the beggar, to the man that looked bad, smelt bad, and said, excuse me, sir, I bought you some food. Thank you. If you meet me at 5 o'clock on Friday outside that fish and chip shop on the end of that street there on the right, this Friday, I'll be there and I'll take you for a meal this Friday. Friday came. He's late. I wait. I'm praying. Bring him, Lord. He couldn't walk. He's got multiple sclerosis.
He talks like this. And he walks. He walks like this. He talks like this. He walks like this. His name is John.
I'm like 18, 19. And those sort of things have continued. We get the fish and chips. We go around the corner. We find a nice lawn outside the Anglican church. Sit down. Meeting number two. Meeting number three. Meeting number four. Meeting number five. He brings some black and white photos one night. I'm getting to know him now. He shows me his photos of when he was young. Like you. He's young. Handsome. Strong. 100% healthy. He's sharing about his life. I'm sitting in my car thinking, I'm humbled. I'm less than half your age. You're sitting in my rubbish car. You bought photographs to show me of when you were handsome, young, and had a life, which is much better than this. I picked up a stranger from the rubbish and now we're here. And then this went on, and I took him on and on meetings and brought him to Christ. Took him to church one day. It's a middle class Anglican church in North London, where I come from. That's why I speak properly. And in the silent moments of this Anglican church, he started making noises with his bottom. You know. I thought, fantastic. I thought, I need to bring more people like this to church. And people are turning around and looking at him. Ah, shouldn't be doing that. I'm thinking, yes, it's okay. Why don't you bring somebody like that? It's great. Go out into the highways and the byways and bring all kinds of people. So this story of God filling us with the Holy Spirit. Paul writing to Ephesians says, be filled. He's writing to born again believers. And he says to them, be filled. Don't get drunk with wine, born again believers. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples, wait. Don't go. Don't do nothing. You'll do nothing. Wait. Until the power comes from on high, then go. I can't go and do this work. You can't go and do this mission. And forget the mission for a minute. It's not about in 3 weeks' time we're going to do this. This is a lifestyle. So I'm challenging you and asking you. Maybe the Lord is more to the point. Let's do the mission and put it aside for next year. No. What's that? Why don't we make a decision today to enroll in the school of Jesus? And this today is like a little, it's like a nothing almost. It's like, it's not even the top of the cake, it's not even the icing on the cake, it's not even the top layer, it's just like a little bit. But why don't you enroll? See, here I am, Lord, in some way or other, can you teach me, encourage me, help me? We've got neighbours. We had a most amazing speaker one day come to our church. So I'm like, wow, I've got this guy coming to our church. He's amazing. I need to bring many people. So I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to invite them. So I went out the door, crossed the thing called a road. It separates my house and their house. It's called a road. You've probably got one as well. Crossed the road like with a determination, knocked at the door. Hello, Fred. He said, hello, Andy. What do you want? I said, can I come in, Fred? I said, Fred, we've got this event. We've got this restaurant dinner. We've got this speaker coming. He's going to speak about Jesus and about life. It's going to be great. Fred, I really want you and your wife to come. I'm in an R. I'm praying with my eyes open. Jesus, Jesus. I'm in an R. Jesus, make him say yes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. What is he doing? Inside, I'm like that. Jesus. He said, yes, all right, we'll come. They came. knocked at the door this side and to Janet. I said, Janet, I said, we've got this amazing restaurant meeting speaker. Will you be my guest? I've got a free dinner for you. Blah, blah, blah. Janet, you should come bring my daughter. She said, yes. I went to this side, knocked at Peter and Margaret's door. I said, Peter and Margaret, blah, 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 come in. So I had 17 non-Christians, just me, in the middle of this restaurant with about 120, 140 people, 60 to 70% non-Christians. We can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. When I go to Nigeria, I'm on my knees. Even coming to Frinton, I'm on my knees. I don't get up here lightly. You've paid good money today. You know what I mean? I don't want to waste your time, my time, God's time. I'm on my knees, Lord. They need your word. They need encouragement. They need inspiring. They need your Holy Spirit. They need encouraging. Somebody walk across the room. Are you getting me today? I'm on a different planet. I'm on Jesus' planet. Are you getting me today? We had a great speaker once come to our church. He finished preaching. He finished his thing called a sermon. I've got to finish soon. I haven't said anything yet. We'll ditch that. He finished his sermon. He pointed to four people. First point was to me. He said, everybody, I want to say a few things publicly. First thing I want to say is to Andy, whom I know. This is what the Lord says to you, Andy. He gave this prophecy, it's called, this word. You're going to go to countries that you've not thought of. You will have an international ministry. This is what you will be doing. Stopped. Public. I weighed it up. You must always weigh it up. Had good friends to weigh it up. We weighed it up, considered it. It was a true word, and that's happened. Then he pointed to another person and said, the Lord says this. Isn't that exciting? Oh. I went to that meeting that day. I'm on my knees. I said, this guy's got a reputation. Lord, will you visit me? You know what, Lord? Can you not pass me by? Savior, Savior. Do not pass me by. Whilst on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I said, Lord, other people get stuff. I'd like this man to open his mouth and prophesy over me publicly. I know he does that, but can I have that tonight, Lord? And then I started to believe he's going to do it. Oh, Lord, thanks. Amen. One woman came across the room, quietly gave me a word. Another man said a word publicly that have transformed my life. You'd like that to happen to you. Do you know? Nearly all of you. Some of you are scared stiff. But the majority of you would love that. Actually. And so we're all waiting for it to be done to us. Well, let's pray, let's seek the Lord, and let's do it. As the Lord prompts us in little ways, I've spoken of some big things perhaps, in little or large ways, let's do it. A woman came up to me one day, her name was Hannah, with a baby in her hand. Beautiful woman, beautiful baby. Mid-20s. She said, "We've got nothing to give you towards your school in Nigeria, but my husband says it's all right and it's okay with me. We want you to take my diamond engagement ring and sell it." I said, "I can't take your ring." She said, "No, sell it." I said, "I'm not taking your ring." She said, "We've got nothing to give you. We haven't got any money. Take the ring, please, sell it, and give it towards building your school in Nigeria." I looked at her and reluctantly took it, thinking, the Lord spoken to her, I've got to do it. Romans 1, 14, a few words, and let me close. Romans 1, chapter 14, says this: "I am obligated both to Greeks," well, they need it. That's me, but I'm a Greek Cypriot. "And non-Greeks," that's you. "Both to the wise," that's me, "and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." He's a good Trinitarian, because he believes in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But he's a good Trinitarian because he says here, "I am, I am, I am. I am obligated, I am so eager, I am not ashamed." I'm obligated to people. Let's be obligated to people. Young people, what are you going to be obligated to in life? The rest of us, what are we going to be obligated to? Will I remain obligated? Yes, I will. To people? Yes, I will. I'm not obligated to pension. I'm not obligated to money. I'm not obligated to anything this world or anyone can offer me. But I'm obligated first and foremost to people. People of our culture, people of other cultures, people who are educated, people who are not educated, people who are ignorant or schooled, and people who are not. I am obligated. Let's enroll in the school of Jesus today, like the disciples did for some years, and let's stay in his school forever, with L plates on. I am obligated. The thing is, second thing is, I am so eager to preach or to share or to chit-chat. The people that I brought to this dinner all heard the gospel. I'll tell you some more stories tonight as I preach. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. It's not because of the way that you and I tell it. It has an inherent power. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. Whether it is written in word or spoken poorly or chit-chatted over a coffee or heard in the pulpit, the gospel of Jesus is powerful. Be bold. Speak out. May you go two or three steps further than you've ever gone before, starting now, not in 3 weeks. And then when the mission comes, begin. But begin now. Say to the Lord, here I am. Stir it up in me, Lord. Here I am. I'm available. Train me. Teach me. Show me. Give me compassion and passion. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God. The people in Frinton and other places and the whole world needs Christ. And the people in Frinton who are very self-sufficient and generally very well off think they don't need God. They need to have some respect. We need to challenge them in the right way. We've become too PC. Soft is rubbish. It's killed and killing our world. A man can get the sack for saying just a silly little thing that he said, get the sack. He wasn't being that bad at all because of what he said about women. I just cannot believe it. Why can't you just accept his apology and leave him alone? He's sorry. Does he have to be sacked? How far have we gone? This is 30 years of rubbish now. Was Jesus PC? No. You can stick it in the rubbish bin. It's killing the church. It's killing our world. Speak up. Reach out. Build friendships. You're amazing. I'm amazing. You've got a gospel, and the testimony is powerful. I am obligated. Are you? Let's be obligated. I'm obligated. I say to the Lord, Lord, I want to stay obligated to people and be more obligated. Be more obligated, Lord. More obligated. I am obligated. Not to money. To people. I am so eager. And I am not ashamed. Because the gospel is powerful to bring salvation. Tonight, come ready to receive, ready to come out, ready to be anointed. Come expectant, ready. Come with willing hearts. Rest up, enjoy the day. Don't come bloated. Come fit. Have a little pray. Pray for me this afternoon. Pray for yourselves. Pray that the Holy Spirit would visit us. Will do a wonder in us or through us or both tonight. Receive this word. Receive this word. Receive him. Your master who loves you more than we'll ever know. God bless you. Shall we bow our heads? Let's spend a few quiet moments praying. As we're seated, I'm going to pray for us in a moment. But as we're seated, if you'd like to live out these things, if you'd like these things to be part and parcel of your life, if the Lord has spoken to you today, and you're saying, yes, and I'd like you to stand now, and then we'll pray. Perhaps you'd like to put your hands like this. We reach out when we want to receive something. I'm going to pray for you. I include myself in this. Lord, thank you for every life. You died for everyone, including me. You've called everyone, including me. Lord, visit us. Come. Here I am. Send me. Lord, come. Here I am. I'm available. Lord, come. Remove all barriers, all stumbling blocks, all imaginations, true or false, and come. Come despite sin. Come. Visit me, empower me, send me, school me in your school. Lord, hear my cry, hear my prayer. Give me, Lord, your Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you. The Lord visit you. The Lord turn his face towards you. The Lord anoint you with the oil of gladness, victory, and his Holy Spirit. The Lord encourage your heart. The Lord turn the tide, turn the tables for you, and school you and send you and be with you. The Lord bless you real good. The Lord give you gifts and gifts and gifts. The Lord give you the ring, the robe, the sandals, and the celebration in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive all the encouragement God has for you. Receive his healing, his blessing. Receive. Lord, bless us, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seats. I think it'd be good if we got into little groups. And you can get into groups of 2, 3, or 4. I don't mind. If you prefer to be on your own and think, that's fine. If you prefer to be on your own and pray, that's fine. But get into little groups. You can have a little chit-chat, a discussion, or you can just pray. You may want to share something. You may want to say something that's been stirred up. Or you may want to share whatever's on your heart and say, can you pray for me? Or you may have a burden for the mission. You may want to pray for that. But there's a bit of room here, there's a bit of room there. If you want to spread out, just do that. But just gather around in little groups of 2, 3, or 4. And for the next 5, 10 minutes, and then someone will come up and finish off. We've got lunch at 1, whatever happens. And I think the Lord likes that. And so let's just get into little groups now. Thank you. If any of you would like me to pray for you, I will be here. I've got my oil. Don will be here. The doctor will be here. If you've got any illnesses, he'll be here. Heather, who's charming, she'll be here. I've got my oil. If you want prayer, if you're sick, or if you're very, very well, and you want prayer because you have a dream, come. We're going to be here. If you'd like to sponsor someone,